Welcome to the LBX Fishcast. I'm Jody O'Donnell. We release new episodes every Friday. In today's episode, we'll catch Captain Marty's fishing report. We'll also hear from the Oregon Inlet Fishing Center. We'll get an update from Juan Cheese Marina. And Tony Lombardi from WalkingAngler.com will put the cast in Fishcast. Tony will be talking about getting the most out of your cast. Let's kick the show off with the fishing update from Captain Marty.
Fishing offshore is a little bit challenging, although the Oregon Inlet Fleet yesterday had a good day on the blackfin tuna. A lot of blackfin tunas and a few gaffer dolphin. I didn't see a lot in the bailers yesterday or the smaller dolphin. There was a few boats that caught them, but mostly it was blackfin tuna and scattered wahoo. I had some friends that went out fishing, and they ended up with exactly that catch. Down in Hatteras, the weather kind of kept folks from getting out offshore yesterday. But both of the fleets have inshore boats, and both of them are catching these big drum around the inlets, catch and release, fishing for over the slot size drum. And then back in the Sound, there's some really good speckled trout fishing with some puppy drum mixed in. So you get out there, you fish, you know, around the sloughs, around the end of the islands and things like that. Get out there and find where the eelgrass turns to sand and fish along those edges, and you're going to find some speckled trout. Other than that, that just leaves us with stuff that was going on around the beach and on the piers, and it's been maintaining a steady summertime presence of sea mullets, pompano, bluefish, spots and croakers, occasionally a flounder. One thing I did see yesterday, really good catch of sheephead, really good, by some friends of mine that were fishing over here in the Sound off Englehart. I'm talking about a really good catch of sheephead. Been a lot of them around the piers, also some black drum around the piers. Sand fleas that you get right off the beach are a really good choice for bait right now. It's just right there. Can't get any fresher, and the sheephead love them. And then there's been a few kings and a few cobia every day off one pier or the other. So, you know, that's going to be a higher level of advanced fishing, but there's plenty of room out there to go out there and take your family. There's no fishing lessons required on a pier. You can rent the tackle or buy the tackle at a great price and go out there and enjoy a beautiful day on the ocean. But that's my fish report for you.
Let's move along to the Oregon Inlet Fishing Center and talk to Michaela. Michaela, what's the word?
With our offshore boats that did go out, we had plenty of blackfin and some mahi. There were gaffers as well, so it was good fishing for our boats that did go out. Near shore guys, all of our boats went out, and they were still getting ribbon fish and albacore, Spanish mackerel, in the drum, too. Our inshore guys are getting the speckled trout, drum, and a couple ribbon fish as well, again, Spanish. So they're all mixed up out there.
Of course, I did hear that Billy Ray Cyrus was in town. If he wanted to, you know, he's quite fond of the mullet. If he wanted to go catch a mullet, he'd go on the Miss Oregon Inlet, right?
Yeah, that's right. Good sea mullet.
What are they catching?
So yesterday they had sea mullet, croaker, pinfish, pigfish, and they get a couple ribbon fish as well.
The Safari Dolphin Tour, that's always a crowd pleaser.
Five times a day, 7:30, 10, 12:33, and also an optional sundown cruise at 5:30.
Boats that are out fishing, when do you expect them to return?
They should be back anytime between 3:30 and 4 today.
And if you want to get in on some of the action at the Oregon Inlet Fishing Center, how about the website and the telephone number?
So they can find us at oregon-inlet.com or 252-441-6301.
We got to hear from Brenda at Juan Cheese Marina.
Jody, it has been great. The nearshore boats, the flavor of the day yesterday and again today has been ribbon fish. Quite a few of them. And then, of course, the Spanish mackerel have been really, really strong, too. Our inshore guys, they are finding speckled trout and the flounder. And the seas have been good. They've been popping out there, getting some nice red drums. A lot of Citation red drums coming in here the last few days. Offshore boats, finding those tuna and finding the mahi. So all around, it's been really, really good.
Catch those fish. You got to have a place that's going to cook them up right.
Bring them on in. Bring them into the landing grill. We'll fry them up for you, give you some french fries, hush puppies, homemade coleslaw. What a way to end your trip. And if you're not a big seafood lover, we also have all kinds of things on the menu that are not seafood plus pizzas.
The word on the street is the best shrimp salad in town.
Oh, well, that's what everyone is saying. Our shrimp salad is fresh made every day. We usually run out of it every day.
Phone's always jumping off the hook at Juan Cheese Marina. Dolphin tours, any availabilities?
Yeah, we do have a little bit of availability this weekend. We got some availability tomorrow on our 1:30 and our sunset. So other than that, I think that's about it because we don't run on Sunday. So hit us back up on Monday.
Whatever kind of fishing you want to do, you got to check into Wanchese Marina. What's that website and telephone number?
Reach us at www.wanchesemarina.com or give us a call at 252-423-3157.
Time for our Tips with Tony segment on the OBX Fishcast. Tony's putting the word cast into Fishcast with tips on how to get more out of your cast.
You know, casting is one of the most basic things we do in fishing. You know, it's because it's so basic, a lot of time we don't take the time to review our technique. You know, what's to know about it is the question. You know, you hold your rod, you swing it out there, and you let the bait fly, right? Well, you know, there's a little bit more to that when you want to get distance and accuracy. So, you know, we hear a lot of time from anglers, well, I wish I could cast a little bit further, a little bit more.
We should note that for some species, we don't want to cast very far.
Exactly. We want to be up close. But again, you know, if you're on the pier, and this has happened most frequently in the evenings when the Spanish mackerel are just out of casting range, you want to try to get your lure out to them. So, you know, a lot of times you want to be able to reach that fish that's just outside of, you know, out of your range. So the only way we're going to do that, we want to take a good look of how we're doing that. And, you know, sometimes we can get our friend or, you know, our neighbor who fishes with us a lot to kind of observe what we're doing. You know, the whole thing starts with the right type of gear. You know, a longer rod is capable of longer casts, and we see a lot of surf anglers, you know, they're going to have the 12 to 14 foot rods, and the reason they have that, they've got to sling those baits past the breakers. And so it's important to look at the size of the rod that you have. The action of the rod makes a big difference too. Fast rods can cast further, but they're a lot heavier. You know, the faster rods means that they're going to be more stiff. They're going to be quicker on the retrieve. But on the other hand, the light rods or slow rods, they bend more flexible, less distance, maybe better accuracy up close. But if you're looking at that longer cast, you want a long rod that's fast but is lighter. And of course, cost is going to play a little bit into that. We need to be, you know, take that into consideration. Even the guides on your rod can affect your casting. We want to make sure that they're smooth, they're slick, and there's no sand or salt that gets in that. And that's a common problem. You know, we come off the beach, we come off the pier, we've reeled fish in, we've got some debris or sand or salt on there, and you know, it can clog up that inside of that guide, and it can affect the line going through the guide itself. The other thing is that your reel will matter, the size of the reel. You know, a lot of people will get these big honkers, these big reels, and you have to look at the bailer to see, you know, what dimension that is. And again, it's a little bit more technical, but the tackle shop can help you with that. If it's a round bail, you're not going to get the distance as if you got a oval bailer. So that's important. Line weight is another consideration that we need to think about. You know, is your lure aerodynamic? You know, which the heavier the lure, sometimes the more resistance it's going to have in the wind. So we need to think about that. So we have to think, you know, how much resistance does a bale of feathers have versus maybe a lead ball? You have to think about, you know, what you're throwing and what's going to affect the wind that affects that. Anyway, line is another thing. We want to make sure that we don't have too much line on the reel. When we get new line put on there, we have the tackle shop do that for us, and they know exactly, you know, how much distance they need between the top of the spool and where the line is. So you don't want too much because that's going to hang up and that's going to bind. As little as that binding is, it's going to affect our distance.
Now, I've seen videos, Tony, on YouTube of, you know, some of these custom rods that, you know, get created, and they're very high quality. But I've seen a video where a guy actually casts a brick out into the ocean with the fishing rod. I mean, that's strong. That's really a heavy rod and a strong biceps. So,
So yeah, that but you have to look at, you know, the size of your lure, what you're actually throwing. And now the other thing we look at is how much line do we have outside the top guide, you know, as we're getting ready to cast. You know, what we want to do is have about 18 inches, maybe a little bit more than that, and use kind of a pendulum approach with it. You want to swing it back and forth just as you're getting ready to cast. So that's important to know about that. Most anglers have switched to braid. And I switched to braid too, and that gives me that extra, you know, 10, 15, 20 yards of.
Now braid's a little more expensive though.
Braid's going to be, it's not that much more expensive. It's going to be just a little bit more, but you're going to get a lot more benefits out of it. First off, it's going to be a lot thinner. You're going to cast it a lot further. It has better abrasion resistance too, so you know that's important. But a lot of people are going to braid, and braid is going to aid your casting distance. So that's going to be real important with that. You know, making sure, again, we talked earlier about making sure you have enough line on your spool. You don't want to overfill your spool. Then again, you don't want to underfill it.
Yeah, underfilling could be embarrassing.
Well, underfilling is you're going to lose that trophy fish that you've been bragging you're going to be catching all the time. So, you know, it's really important to do that. And, we, you know, we talked about the weight of the lure. So that's really important when we talk about the line. Now, loading the line, we talk about loading. And it's important that you take that lure, that 24 inches of leader and the lure, and you take it back as far as you can, and you do that swinging. And as you throw it, you want to make sure that you snap it just as you get it over top of your head. Now, if you do it incorrectly, I'll tell you what's going to happen. First off, the softer baits are going to fly off your hook, number one. And then you're going to lose that, and you might have to rebait it. The other thing is, the harder you snap it, and depending on the heaviness of the rod, you may actually unravel a lock, the knots. So you have to be really careful. And all this comes back to practice. You want to make sure that you're not throwing it too far, but you're throwing it, you know, that whatever the rod and your ability, whatever you're capable of doing. Now, another question, Jody, is do I use two hands or one? Well, the two-handed casting is going to allow us to put more energy into the throw. So we're going to get it way out there. We may not be as accurate all the time, but we're going to get some distance. So we want to practice with two hands if we can, especially if we're trying to reach something that's, you know, probably 40 or 50 yards out. Now, you can also do the one hand, and I use the one hand a lot only because we talked earlier, I like to fish up close. I like structure, water movement, and things like that. So I'll focus on more accuracy, and that'll be my 7.5-foot rod, and I'll cast close, and I'll use the one hand. So that's one thing that I like to use, and, you know, everybody has their own preference, so two hands or one hand. But now we get back to practice, and that's the most important thing. I teach a lot of people how to cast right in my front yard. What I like to do is I get hula hoops, and I'll set the hula hoops 10 to 15 yards away from where I'm standing. And I just put a sinker on the line, and I'll use the different techniques, overhand, sidearm, and then a toss, which is an underhand toss. And I try to put that sinker right in the middle of that hula hoop. Now, I might put three or four out there so I can go straight ahead. I can go a little bit at 10 o'clock, and I can go a little bit at 2 o'clock. So different distances. Then I'll move them out maybe 25 to 30 feet and even a little bit further. And that gives me the ability to practice right in my front yard. Now, once I get good at tossing the sinker into the hula hoop, then I might get a paper plate, and I try to do the same thing. And then finally, you know, if you get really good, you can use a cup and see if you can't put your sinker right near the cup or even in the cup. But, you know, the good news here is that casting is really not hard, Jody. It's just something that we, you know, you get out there, you get your bait, you get your rod, you know, you're excited, you're right on the railing, and you toss it out. The bad news is casting can be kind of hard if you really don't use some of the techniques that we talk about. It's almost like a golf swing, you know. Anyone can do it, but it takes time, you know, to acquire the skills and do some practice. But that's kind of my take on, you know, the longer casting techniques.
And of course, you're going to be going for some bigger fish with these longer casts.
Yes, yes. Yeah, well, not really the longer larger fish, but the Spanish mackerel a lot of times are way out. Sometimes they're right near the pier, but if you can reach out, you know, 10 or 15 yards further than your neighbor, you're going to be catching more fish. They say, like in real estate, you know, more territory, the more, you know, places you search.
But if you were fishing for a pompano, you want to keep that real close.
No, you want to be right close. That's right. You want to be right up close.
Or a puppy drum. They like to hang out fairly
close.
Now,
we've talked earlier about the Pirates Cove Bridge, the little wildlife pier. There's a slough where the charter boats come in to that creek. And if you don't use a really strong cast, you're not going to reach that slough. So that's one option. On the Daniels Bridge, there's a couple of holes that are 75 to 100 yards south of the bridge. And so you need a good cast to reach them. Now, if you're fishing on the beach, obviously the blues or the rockfish or, you know, you have schools of fish that are breaking, you know, maybe just behind the bar, you'll need a stronger cast. And even on the pier, you want to reach the Spanish mackerel or any other schooling fish. So, you know, there's different places that you want to use a stronger cast, and there's places you want to fish up close.
Tony, now what's your setup? I mean, what kind of, you know, far as your cost is concerned, getting the right equipment to make these longer casts? Because it's going to put a little more strain on what you got to have done.
Sure. I have an 8 to 10 foot rod when I'm fishing on the surf. Or on the bridge when I'm looking to get a little further distance. But I use the 15-pound test. I use a medium rod. It's going to be a medium, not really your light, but I want to have a little bit of length to it. And again, I practice a little bit. And you say, well, you know, I'm good at casting. I'm not good if I don't keep at it. So, and it's just like anyone else. You have to keep practicing, and that's what I do is I make sure my equipment is in good condition. We talked about that in an earlier article that I wrote about mid-season maintenance, making sure the sand and the salt get out of your reel, making sure you don't have your drag real tight when you store your equipment, and all of that maintenance plays into your ability to cast further and to have a successful day out on the water.
Rust is a bad thing with your equipment. Rust is a bad thing with your skills.
Absolutely, sure.
Been talking to Tony Lombardi, walkingangler.com. Also contributes to the Saturday morning Captain Marty extended edition of The Other Side of Fishing from 6:30 to 8:30 on Beach 104 and 94.5 WCMS. Tony, thanks so much for being part of the OBX Fishcast.
Thanks, Jody. Have a good weekend.
That's going to do it for today's OBX Fishcast. Remember, a new one will be released next Friday. Make sure you share the OBX Fishcast with a friend. I'm Jody O'Donnell.